Nice job. All right, will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. Today, Lord, I exalt you. I lift you up and I say, you are my God. You are my God, and in you I find delight. In you and from you there is nothing but delight. And in your presence there is the fullness of joy. And Lord, I pray that through this message series that you would stir within us to be reminded that you are where everlasting joy is found. You are our living hope. You are worthy to be praised. So Father, use all of what happens today and even just in our lives to help us to look upward, to help us to look to you, to find you, to trust you, to walk with you in all of our lives. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstance, no matter the context, only thing that matters is you. So bless us, I pray. Lift us up, I pray. Strengthen us. It's in your son's perfect name. Amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, Christ Church. How about that? A teenager reading scripture on Sunday morning, y'all. I don't know about you. When I was a teenager, I wasn't in church, you know. I mean, I was, but I wasn't in church, you know. And, man, I'm so grateful for the work God is doing through the lives of so many people, our youngins, no matter who they are, where they are. Man, God is just at work. Speaking of at work, we want to let you guys know that last weekend, obviously you guys know it was Easter, and we had our largest attendance we've had in years. In years, we've reached over 500 people this past Easter weekend, both in person and online. Man, God has just been blessing just the socks off this church. And we're just excited for what is to come. And as Sierra said, we're going to be celebrating coming up. We're going to be celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And, man, just so many good things. Make sure you're being a part of it. And, man, I just can't wait to celebrate with you guys. But today we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series called Knowing God. And we're going to be studying for the next several weeks. We're going to be studying Psalm 16. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to make Psalm 16 a daily or maybe even just a weekly devotion for you, because it's an awesome psalm. It's packed with so much truth, and we're going to be breaking down week by week just how much this particular psalm can lead us to know God, right? To lead us into a deeper connection with him. So that's what we're going to be in. And today we're just going to be studying verses 1 and 2. Before I break that down, there's no one in the world that knows me better than my wife. No one in the world that knows me better than my wife. My wife and I met in 2011. You know, my good looks charmed her, you know, and it's like a magnet. She came running, you know, and back when my hairline wasn't receding. And man, it was, but there's no one in the world that knows me better than my wife. My wife knows me so well that, you know, it's funny, you know, every time she asks me, like, hey, did you schedule a doctor's appointment? You know, because my mother always says, my wife always says, I'm not your mother. And she's like, did you schedule a doctor's appointment? And I say, yeah, I did. She knows that I did it. She knows, right? And she knows me so well. She'll say something like, "Hey, can you do the dishes while I, you know, work on upstairs?" And she knows my response. Yeah, I'll get to it later. Now, later, she knows means in 2 days. That's kind of how, you know, her mind works, or just kind of how my process of later and how that works. You know, my math isn't all that great. So she was like, can you get to it? And she knows me all too well. But interesting enough, I know her as well, right? I know her as well. She's like, you know, she'll always say, like, hey, can we watch a movie tonight? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Are you going to fall asleep? You know? You know, I know, babe, I got no, it's fine, you know, I'm going to fall asleep. 5 minutes into the movie, babe, you did it again. No, I'm awake. You know, or she'll do her spring cleaning, where she'll start to get all the clothes and the toys. She has this mindset. She has a heart to send it all to Salvation Army. She'll say, babe, can you put all the bags in the back of my car? I'm going to take it to Salvation Army. I know when she says that, that means there's going to be at least 2 more months until she makes it to Salvation Army, and those bags are going to be in the back seat for that long. She says, no. Little do I realize, those bags are still back there today, friends. This was back in 2025. All right? Let me just say, all right? I'm being honest, right? And if you think about it, that's just relationships. They're built off the reason why we know each other so well, because relationships in general are just built off intimacy, right? Intimacy it builds relationship. And the reason why, because intimacy, it builds knowledge of the individual. And deep down inside, humans, we all crave intimacy. We desire to be known. We desire to love. We desire connection. Intimacy is a part of our DNA. It's what we strive for, right? Which is why we seek relationships. And we often have to ask ourselves, well, why is it like that? Well, the reason why we desire that, it's because we were created from a God who was personal. We were created, each and every one of us, we were created by a God who seeks to be intimate, seeks to be personal, seeks to be known. So that very desire, it comes from our Creator. It comes from God. And here's the truth, and here's the reality about God and us. God desires that you and I know him, right? Not just know about him, not just have a lot of information, not just can cite core truths, but to grow in intimacy. Why? Because friends, little do you realize, you were created by God to know God, right? The very function of your very existence, the very reason why you and I breathe is so that we can connect to the one who gives us breath. So that you and I can connect to the one who gives us breath. And today, what I want to do and what I want to do throughout this series is that I want to help clarify kind of what Christianity means, right? Christianity isn't merely just about being a good person, right? Right? A lot of people think that, man, you know, the goal is I follow Jesus, now I got to be good, right? Read the Bible, you'll realize you're going to fail in that category very quick, right? Very fast. Right, I felt at that every single day. I felt at it this morning. It's called having kids. But anyway, you know, it's just right. People just think that Christianity is it's about being good, or Christianity is just about being blessed, or just going to heaven, right? But what we're gonna talk about, and what the whole thesis of this series is, that the aim of the Christian life is God Himself, right? The goal of the Christian life, it's God, right? The goal isn't gifts. The goal isn't more. The goal is Jesus. That's the whole entire purpose of our Christian walk. The aim of the Christian life is God, to know him, to love him, to glorify him, to walk with him, to connect with him in our everyday lives. I've been reading this book, pun intended. The title is Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And he says this wonderful, wonderful quote. He said, what were we made for? To know God. Right? Right? And if you and I were created to know God, we must be central on that very purpose throughout our lives, right? And the reason why we're doing this series is because of this. The more you know God, the more you learn to trust God, right? The more you grow in knowing God. Again, not just from an intellectual standpoint. I mean, yeah, information is great. Information is good. And here at Christ Church, we believe in the core truths, and we want to be bold on those truths, and we want to be led by those truths. But at the end of the day, God cares more about your presence with him above all else. And he wants you to know him Because she wants you to learn to trust him in every way. And so we're going to be reading Psalm 16 throughout this series. Today we're just going to focus on Psalm 16 verses 1 through 2. So if you have your Bibles, let's go and open up. Now Psalms, if you're just brand new to church, the Psalms are just ancient prayers, right? Ancient prayers or ancient songs that were written from a people from Israel. And one of the most famous and well-known writers of the Psalms is this guy by the name of David. Right, King David, the man himself. And I love the Psalms because the Psalms, they always have several tones to them. There's Psalms of celebration, and then there's the Psalms where life just stinks. Right? Life just stinks. And guess what? We're in that category today. Right? But we're going to see something unique. We're going to see something powerful. We're going to see something that I believe is the heart that God wants us to carry when it comes to knowing him. And so here we go. It goes like this. Psalm 16, we're going to start in verse 1. It says this. It says, preserve me, oh God. Right then and there, you see David, the writer. This is a prayer that he's writing. Preserve me. Obviously, we know that means to God, protect me. Right? So David is obviously facing crisis. He's writing down, he's recording, hey, I'm in the middle of something, and in this moment, he goes to God, and he's in the midst of crisis, and he says, preserve me, O God, for in you, watch this, I take refuge. He says, in you, I take refuge. And then he goes on, he says that, I said to the Lord, I love that tone switch. He goes from speaking, it's kind of like he goes from speaking to God, right, just talking about God. I said to the Lord, he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. How powerful is that, right? Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. And then he goes on, and he says that, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. Obviously, as we saw early, David, the writer, the king of Israel, he's in a state of desperation. Now, what's interesting enough is that when you read this psalm as a whole, you don't really know the circumstance. You really don't know the situation. You just know that for David, he's facing it. He doesn't name the problem, he just names God. I love that. He doesn't name the situation. He doesn't name all of what's going on. We don't know if it's other enemies, because Israel would have been at war with a lot of people. We don't know if it's other people that just kind of been slandering him, because David was the man who was loved, but also a man who received a lot of hate. We don't know what's going on. David doesn't name the problem. He just names God. He just names God, and he calls on God. What we see here is that David turns first to the Lord. Why? Because he knows in the midst of what he's facing, his ultimate need is God. So what does he do? He runs to the Lord. He runs to the Lord. I love playing with my kids, and one of the games that we started playing lately has been tag. My kids love playing tag, right? I don't know why, because dad's always outrunning them. But anyway, they love playing tag. And I always have to explain the rules to them. I say, obviously, the goal is to not get tagged, and to run to base. To run to base. One day my oldest was like, well, Dad, what does base mean? I said, it's the place where you're safe. Right? It's the place where you're safe. And so we'll be outside, and you know, and I'll say, all right, guys, I'll be it, you know, and they'll start running. And you know, my three-year-old just starts running in circles. Bro, get to base. And he just, ah! He's just happy to be alive, you know, at this point, you know. My other son, he's ducking and dodging me, right? He's trying to get to the safe place. He's trying to get to the safe place. He's trying to get the base. And I notice in life, when crisis hits, we run to something. You ever notice that? You ever notice that when crisis hits our lives, we run to something because we're running to something we think is going to be base, to the safe place, right? To the safe place. I've always told people, well, people don't run from pain, they run to something,
People don't just run from pain. They run actually to something. And usually the place that we go to when crisis hits, it's a place where we believe that it's going to give us relief. We believe it's the place that's going to give us control. It's the place that's going to give us the answers. And for many of us, that's a lot of things. When we're facing desperation, when we're facing moments like David, we don't know David's specific situation. We just know that David is in a situation. And when we face our own situations, we run to something to bring us security and to bring us relief and to bring us comfort. For some of us, maybe you're like me, when crisis hits, you kind of just seek to be on your phone to kind of ignore all that's going on. Because you just need to escape. We all look to escape, don't we? I just need to escape, right? I'm on Instagram. I'm sharing reels with everybody. You don't want to see the reels that I share. I might get fired. No. right? Just doom scrolling. Just sitting there. Just doom scrolling. Right? For some of us, maybe you run to certain relationships, even though those relationships are pretty toxic and unhealthy, right? We run to certain people. For a lot of us, because we're trying to escape, we run to substance, maybe a form of alcohol or drugs, whatever it may be. For some people, it might be something just to numb themselves, right? But we all run to something. Again, friends, we don't just run from pain. We run to something. But I love this wonderful truth. David runs first to the Lord. God's not the last resort. God's not the last resort. God is his first choice in all of this. So the question isn't, why is life hard? It's where do you run when life gets hard? The question isn't, why is life hard? The real question is, where and who do you run to when life gets hard? Why? Because crisis, situations like what David's facing, and situations like what you face, they often are very exposing. And what do they expose? They expose where and who you ultimately put your confidence in. You ever notice that? Right? Crisis, usually situations that are desperate and dire, they expose who we truly trust. Right? Or what we truly trust, right? And David, I love this psalm. David says, I'm in a situation, I'm going to the Lord, and I'm seeking the Lord. David doesn't ask God to remove the problem. He just declares God as this one thing. He says, in the midst, if you notice in the psalm, he doesn't tell God, God, take it away. Isn't that sometimes our like first response in prayer? God, make this better. No, David says, God, no, first deal with me. Hey, the situation is the situation, but where I really need you, God, to be at work in is me. He doesn't say, preserve this, oh God. He says, preserve who? This is, you could talk to me. He says, preserve me. He says, me, right? Right? And because he sees God as his refuge. You ever notice that in verse 1? Bring up verse 1 for him. He says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Now, if you're brand new to church, a refuge is used quite a bit if you read the Psalms. Right? It's used quite a bit. It's used a lot. Now, a refuge in ancient Israel, a refuge would have been known as the place of safety. It would have been known as the fortress or the stronghold. It was commonly used by those. Watch this. Listen to this. It was commonly used by those who are under attack. So you gotta, when you read the Old Testament, right, there is a lot of conflict and tension and wars, right? And ancient Israel would be at war with other nations, right? And the refuge was set up to when you are so overwhelmed by all of the war, it's the place you run to find shelter. See, the refuge, it wasn't an option. It was life or death, right? Because you're getting attacked. You're getting your butt kicked. You're getting your head beat in, right? You're losing. The refuge was the place you ran to when you felt overwhelmed. Now, I think this is an interesting imagery. Although we're not in David's time, although we're thousands of years removed from this text, and although we don't have the refuge like a building, or because it would have been like an actual structure, a building. But I do know this. I think one thing that trips us up in life the most is that we just get so overwhelmed. Anybody with me on that? You're just so overwhelmed. You're hit with 1,000 different things. You're dealing with, maybe you're dealing with a disease. You're dealing with financial pressure. You're dealing with people. And guess what? People are annoying. You laugh because you're one of them. you're right? You are stressed. Listen, I have 2 boys. My wife and I are thinking about starting a company for people who want to have children, and it was going to be called Before You Have Children, Come Visit Us to see if you really want to have children. Kids are overwhelming. Family is overwhelming. You just deal with so much, and I think that is our constant battle in life. It is dealing with the overwhelm, right? And because there's just so much happening, we need a place to go to when life is happening. And David says that place is the Lord. Because God is your refuge. God is not a refuge. He is your refuge. He is the place. Not that you're never going to face any danger or any the trials. It's that he's the one that preserves you when you're facing them. Right? Because we all face over. And here's the thing about when I feel overwhelmed, I get angry. Somebody said strongly, yes. You get angry. You get frustrated. Right? Why you get frustrated? Because you realize you're not in control. You know, these kids remind me all the time, I'm not in control. I'm trying to force these little suckers that, listen, today's just about survival, bro. Like, trying to keep you from dying. You know what I mean? Like, you can't shove that in your mouth. Like, no. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm venting. but we need a place, not just that we can just talk about what's going on, but that we can, God is the one who brings us clarity and restores us and shapes our perspective and gives us strength not to give up nor to give in to the overwhelm. That's why we need that. He says, the Lord, you are my refuge. David doesn't say, God, remove the issue. He says, no, Lord, preserve me and be my refuge in it. Because guess what, friends? You're going to be overwhelmed again. Right? You're probably like, oh, this is not the church I want to be a part of. Right? But guess what? The Lord is your refuge again. Seek the Lord as your refuge again. And you're in a quiet space, in the place of your heart. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, this is very scary. But you are the place and you are the person that keeps me safe, right? Knowing God is trusting him to hold your life together when everything feels like it's falling apart. Keep that up there for them, Jay. Here's how God wants you to know him. He wants you to know him to the point where you trust him that he holds your life together, even when everything feels like it's falling apart. Because guess what? We're gonna that last part in the sentence, that feels very weird, real, doesn't it? This is all this what's going on, right? Why is this happening? It's to know God to a point. You just say, I trust him that he's gonna hold it all, hold me all together. And it leaves us to be reminded of this great truth. To know God is to place everything, is to actively place everything in his hands. Because listen to this. The refuge, as you've heard and you've been listening, is the place you run, which means it means action. It's not a passive thing. If they were facing overwhelmed from the oppressors, they wouldn't just sit there and just let and beat them up. Right? Right? You'll be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be at war right now. What would they do? They would actively go to the refuge. Right? And that's the same thing with us. We got to actively seek God and place all of our lives in his hands. That's what it means to know the Lord. So David says to know him is to see him as your refuge. But then he goes on in verse 2. Verse 2, he says this. He says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I have no good thing. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Notice this language, and if you keep reading the psalm, you'll notice David will say, like, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my Lord. The Lord is my strength. Notice it's very possessional, right? My, right? My sons, they can be very territorial, and they don't like to share anything with anyone, right? They get something, they automatically cling to it. It's their special treasure. My son, and pray for us, my son, he has a very special stick. Yeah. Like, out of the millions of sticks that are in the backyard and in the woods, this one is the one. He won't let anybody or anything, he won't let anybody touch it. It has to be in his possession. Literally, homeboy woke up the other day and says, where's my stick? I said, where's your what? He said, where's my stick? I said, it is 5 a.m. And little did I realize, I can't find the stick. And so he starts losing it because it's his. That stick, it's something of comfort. It's something it belongs to him, and it gives him identity. You should see him with the stick. He's walking around. At one point, he's fighting it like he's a sword, and then he's using it like a gun. Y'all pray for us. This guy is, right? This stick, it makes him like, you know, multifaceted. I mean, it's crazy. And I love that David uses the language my. Because to know God is to see him as the great treasure above all else. Right? To cling to him. Right? I love that imagery of my son. That stick gives him a sense of like identity and purpose. Well, that's what it's meant. When you know God, God wants you to know him to the point where you know yourself. Because to know God is to find self. To understand self. Right? Because the Christian walk, it's not just informational, it's relational. It's relational, friends. It's more than just, again, truth about him. It's actually knowing him and having him. David says, I belong to the Lord. I don't belong to this circumstance. I don't belong to the brokenness. I don't belong to the failure. I belong to the Lord. I am his and he is mine. I belong to him. Right? David finds great joy in his God. Finds great joy in his God. He belongs to him. And why does God invite us to know him? Now one of the reasons why, and I stole this from the book, so I can't take credit for this, but one of the reasons why God invites us to know him, to actually know him, is so that we can become like him. Because you always reflect what you give the most time to. Right? You will always reflect what you give the most time to. Right? You can always tell a lot about someone based off their schedule, can't you? Based off where they go. Based off what they do. You can always tell a lot about somebody. And God wants you to know him so that you can become like him. Not become God. I know a lot of you like to think that you're God, that you're in control, but that you may reflect him, right? That you may reflect him in every single way. David says, you are my Lord, and apart from you, I love this part. He says, apart from you, God, I have no good thing. This part is really unique. This part is really unique. David says, I have no good apart from the Lord. Now, I think about this reality. He says, I have no good apart from the Lord. And how often do we always see, you know, high-profile celebrities and people that they get all everything they want, they achieve all they want, they're loved and respected, all of that. But still, at the end of the day, for many of them, if not all of them, something is empty or absent. And David isn't saying, when he says, apart from you, nothing, I have no good thing. David isn't saying life, there's no good in life. He's saying nothing in life is better than God. Nothing in life is better than God. Here's what David is saying. Nothing is truly good compared to God, and nothing is truly good apart from God. That's what he says. He says, looks like we misspelled God. We'll correct that. Nothing is truly good compared to God, and nothing is truly good apart from him as well. Why? Because to God, to David, God is his supreme treasure. God is his supreme treasure. The goal isn't gifts. The goal isn't success. The goal isn't more treasure. The goal is God. Why? Because God is our greatest good. God is our greatest good. And good things are not the goal. The goal is God. Everything good that you have in your life, it's only good because it comes from God. Right? It's only good because it comes from the Father of lights, the giver of good. Right? And at the end of the day, it doesn't compare to knowing and walking and beholding and trusting and finding refuge in the one who created you. God wants you to know him so well that even if you lose the life's greatest treasure, you have the ultimate supreme gift, and that's him. And that is him, friends, right? Because if you think about it, ultimately, the human soul, we're always pursuing what we would call the good life. Am I right? Every one of us, we're pursuing the good life. We have a perception. We perceive what we think the good life is. The good life is less stress. More peace, right? You know, some of y'all are like, hey, man, I'll take that on. More money, right? More fame, more happiness, right? A bigger house, right? Right. We all are in pursuit of the good life. But the truth of the matter is, and sometimes we'll seek God to give us the good life. But God is more than just the one who gives us the good life. He is the good life. He alone, his presence, his personhood, his character, all of it, he is the good life. And the good we seek is God that we're seeking. We're just trying to seek it in areas that fill us the most. The good life. It's not what you have, but it's who you have. The good life. It's not what you have, but it's who you have. It's not what you possess. It's not what you can hold, but who's holding you. That's what David says is the good life. Apart from you, God, I have no good thing. And God wants you to know him so well that you realize he is the good life. You know what I see about this passage? You know what I love about this passage? What I love most? Is that David finds himself in a state of contentment. Notice in the beginning, he says, preserve me. He's facing desperation. He's facing some scary moments. He's facing the overwhelm. He's facing all of that. But you see, he says, yes, I need God to preserve me. But make no mistake, friends, God is my good. And because God is my good, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm good. And I'm good. Right? You know what he finds? He finds him in a state of contentment. Contentment. And I think deep down inside, you and I, we are pursuers to be content. We want to feel content. We want to experience what contentment looks like. We want to experience peace. But here's where we understand. Contentment isn't having everything you want. It's realizing God is everything you need. It's realizing God is everything you need in life. Because you realize, here's what it looks like to grow in your relationship with God. You say to yourself, God is enough. He's enough. Because here's the thing, friends. In life, you're going to face overwhelm. In life, you're going to face desperation. In life, you're going to lose things. But life isn't found in what you lose. But it's the one who can never lose you. The good life is not what you have. It's who you know. And I want to invite you today, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord himself, and maybe some of you have gotten to a point where you've thought that you can find the good on your own. You can preserve yourself, that you're the refuge, that things are the refuge. God is inviting and calling us back to realize he is the good you need. And guess what, friends? To know God means he is the refuge. He means he's the place you run when you need clarity. He is your Lord, which means he leads, right? He is the your greatest good, the one who truly satisfies. But the question is, how do we get to know God like that? We look to Jesus Christ. We look to Christ. For Jesus, he is our refuge. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, come to me, all who are overwhelmed. And I will give you rest. He is the refuge, friends. Jesus, he is Lord. He's the Lord of all. He proved that last weekend. We were reminded of it, weren't we? The empty tomb, the risen Savior. But also, he is your greatest good. He is your greatest treasure, your true treasure. We look to Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you want to know God, you look to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God himself. That's what we do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our greatest, greatest joy, our greatest good. We have no good apart from you. Doesn't matter what we have, it's all about having you and knowing you. Lord, I pray that this very truth that David presents to us, that you are our preserver, that you are our refuge, you are the Lord, you are our greatest good, that would be such a reality within our hearts. That we wouldn't just know things about you, but we would actually know you. That we would trust you. That we would grow into you. And that we would live with a state of contentment in every season of life. No matter if things go south, no matter if things are going our way, it doesn't matter. All we know is whatever, the Lord will always be our refuge. He will always be our greatest good. And I pray that again, would be such a reality within our hearts. And I pray this week, Lord, when we face overwhelm, because we will face overwhelm, that we can be like David, and we would first turn to the Lord. And we would say, Lord, be my refuge. keep me safe. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm about to use the wrong words. But you are the one who preserves me, because you are my refuge. Lord, when we find ourselves seeking things to be our greatest good, I pray that we are reminded over and over, Lord, you are our greatest good. And nothing compares to you. Nothing is better than you. Lord, I pray that as we grow in our relationship with you, I pray that our hearts and our desires would be made whole in that truth. Nothing compares to the Lord. No relationship, no success, no job, no nothing. Nothing compares to knowing you. And I pray, Lord, that that would be our greatest joy. I love you. And I absolutely need you. Be my refuge this week. Be the Lord this week. And be my greatest good. It's in your son's perfect name. Amen.